نشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الحمد لله الوالي الكريم، وصلى الله على الأنبياء أجمعين، والمسيح والمحسي والمجدد لمن مرسلين. أما بعد، Are we not the bearers of witness that nothing would exist if Allah didn't create it? And that He is alone and has no part? And that all gratitude is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sustainer of all the boundless universes. All gratitude is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the generous eternal friend. And send salutations of Allah on all of His prophets and His apostles. And on the Messiah, the anointed one. And on the Mahdi, the God. And on the Mujaddid, the reformer. Which was all sent from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We send greetings and we send peace throughout the boundless universe to all. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.
The man of the hour, airing 7 days a week at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on WGAG Radio.
He can't prove it. Everything I say, I prove. That's what makes me different. They talk about stuff they can't prove.
No doubt.
A brother told me, he said, we're all Moabites. I said, I believe that we are Moabites. Do you know what Moab means? He said, of course. Of my father. I said, who was that father? Lot. I said, who was the mother of Moab? His daughter. So you're saying our nation is conceived in incest? Are you proud to go around saying we are Moabites insofar as we were conceived in an incestual act of Moab and Ammon, the two sons of Lot, his two daughters, through Ruth, who went and surrendered her faith to the Israelites, or you call the Jacobites? You're bringing us people who didn't stand up for what they believe. You're bringing us people who bow down to others.
Come on now.
Come on, man. Talk to me about Abraham, who gave Lot the choice of Solomon. The test. Do you take the fertile land, the easy route, the shortcut, or do you want the barren land to prove that you can work by the sweat of your brow? Right.
Come on, man.
What does Lot do?
Go with the easy one.
Lot took the easy route out. Where did it lead him? To Sodom and Gomorrah.
Amen. Come on now.
Anybody come get him? Abraham.
Come get it.
I don't say we're not Moabites. We are some Moabites here. We are some Ammonites here. We are some Israelites here. We are some Ishmaelites here. And we are some Edomites here. And in order for you to be a Moabite, you got to be an Ishmaelite. Oh, you don't believe me? Open the Psalms to the 83rd chapter and the 5th verse.
Go ahead. Yeah.
And read it. Anybody got a Psalms? And you'll read that the Hagarians and Hagar was Egyptian, Abraham's Egyptian wife, who gave birth to Ishmael. The Hagarians, the Moabites, fell up under the Edomites. It tells you about it. Anybody got one? Nobody got a Psalms? Read it out for us. 83rd, 5. It says the tabernacles of who?
The tabernacles of Edom and
Israel. The tabernacles of Edom. Now, what does Edom mean in the Bible? It means red. Keep this from saying. Washa. Washa. From where they get Washata. From a French word, oh, she. From Nat. She. Tush. U.S. Neshetush. A Native American tribe in Neshetu. From the Oshi, we get Washita. It means of the red soil. The same name as Edom. Same identification in Psalms. This is how our teachers must walk with us. They can't just walk with us in big words. They got to go to the blackboard and show it. They got to go to the scripture to show you the place. They got to break down the words and take you by your hand and walk you step by step across that burning sand. And when you reach that great arch and you look up at that cornerstone and want to make that step from darkness into light, you know when you get on the other side, everything you see is about you. There's no Freemasonist walk that path that when he gets on top, don't find us standing there. Don't tell me about no star and crescent. You've been fooled. China's don't call it a star and crescent. They call it the core of the paw of the Bengal tiger out of India, where the Great Lodge is at, in Lahore, Pakistan, where all your Pakistani Qurans are coming from. And on the altar in Lahore, Pakistan, in that Great Lodge, there is a Quran. Because it begins with a B. And in London, where the Anglican Church is, yes, where the Bible, holy as it may be called, sits on the altar, it sits there because it begins with a B. And in Israel, Israel, today, where they're meeting in the Skull and Bone Room of Privacy, the Cloak and Dagger Room of Privacy, where they fell back on the skull and froze and was ripped out from darkness back to light. The Tanakh, or the Torah, that sits on the altar in the lodge in Tel Aviv, begins with a B. The 13th stone, the cornerstone. Who is called the cornerstone? Jesus was called a cornerstone. The chief cornerstone is depicted in Rome as an arch. The 13th. But in our great seal, it's depicted as a pyramid with the cornerstone changed into the eye of all who know of either Har, Horus, or Osiris, both being under the eye of Ra, who became the Amun of all your churches. Amen. Ameen. Amen. You with me?
I'm with
you. A brother said to me that the pyramid on the back of the dollar bill was the great seal of the Moorish nation. I said, oh, sounds nice, same brother Hakim. It sounds nice, however, why are we using an Egyptian pyramid if you're talking about people that was indigenous of America? Why didn't they put an American pyramid back there? There are pyramids here in America. We are the original mound builders. That's why I strategically brought you here to Edington. Did you know that? Just last month's Geographic Magazine, we repeated an article about the Eagle Rock Mound built by you. It's less than 15 minutes from here. Close as I could get without being in the park. And on the top of that mound, and out of the Washington, they have a picture of it in the magazine right inside. They show it to you. They say, that's one of the greatest symbols, the eagle. What was that eagle? Huh? That's called what in Native American culture? The Great Spirit. They take all your prayers and messages through the stars, but it soars to heaven. Became adapted as an American symbol from the Phoenix. And the Phoenix comes from where they got the dove. You with me? And why they use the dove?
Spirit.
They use the dove, but the dove, when you take it and put it inside your bosom, goes into a coma state. It goes to sleep. Did you know that? Oh, that's why magicians use a dove. Because they put a dove in their hat. Now go by and pass a pet shop and ask and find out what I'm trying to kill them. They put a dove out of the sunlight, it goes into a coma state and refuses to move. When you pull it out, it comes alive and flies. It's your resurrection story. And they chose a white dove in Christianity when doves come in all kinds of colors and speckles, including dark brown, all tones.
Always.
And they chose a descending dove coming down to light upon Jesus to remain with him forever.
Going nowhere.
Going to sleep. All of these are the mystery. That's why that eagle is there. That mound is a landing point when the crash comes. Now, that doesn't mean go out there and start standing around there. That don't mean go out there and start standing around there overboard with doing, because you might get zapped by the Anunnaki. Because they see your light, not your body. They see whether or not you are setting off a positive, pure, green light, the essence of all life on this planet, or you setting out an amber light. So you better remember Independence Day, all them fools that got up on that roof who thought just because they put on extraterrestrial costumes and say welcome, they got zapped. Don't think you can't get zapped if you're out there doing all kinds of devilishment and think they're going to take you with them. No. Ain't nobody taking those drunken, stumping drunk nigga home with them. Why should they take you back to risk so you can mess them right up and bring your music and your loudness and your voices and your talk and your bad habits? Why should they? Muslims ain't going nowhere. He was like, you always told us 144,000 of Muslims. Right, the Ansar of Allah community, I said. Nobody else. Oh, Sunni Singham up there. Some people are messed up in their head. That's not Islam. That's spookism. That ain't reality. That ain't science. We're about science. Now you can say more is science, but yes, the Portuguese did call us in Portuguese Morenos. Now, the word negra.
Come on with it.
Where is it at?
Come on with it.
Open the Bible to Acts, chapter 13, verse 1. And you'll find that they were calling the followers of Barnabas, Jesus' original disciples, they were calling them niggas then. Where you go, Bible?
Come on, man.
You got that Bible again? Acts 13, 1. Come on,
brother.
You got one? Acts 13, 1. Let my brother read.
Good.
Yeah.
Lingo. Lingo more.
Now, there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simon, that was called Niger, and Lucius
in your Bible. And the Greek word there is Niger, with three Niger. The Greeks called them niggers then. No, nigger didn't come from the Niger River. No, nigger didn't just come from Latino people saying negra. No, it's back in the Bible. They were calling Jesus the disciples niggers. And no, it is. Another one of those terms they keep giving us when we are not black. When you look at Osiris and Ra in ancient Egypt, they're coming down green. Why are the deities green? Go back and look at the books. Look at Ptah in ancient Egypt on the wall. Look at Tar, that's his name, Tar, Ptah. Look at Osiris, and you'll see that they're green. They're not black, they're not brown, they're green. Before the poison, before the iron of this atmosphere through the air got into your body and oxidized and rust you into brown. You could scream about being brown and all that kind of stuff. When you wasn't even brown. You see, that's why a man makes so much fun of the green, the green Martians are coming. Every time that man plays a trick like that, believe it, there's some truth in it. He's talking about you. back to the other point, because I got so many. Now I got 76 trillion years of information. I'm only supposed to give y'all 25,000 years of it. I got to cram it all in 30 years. But back to the whole original point, this is a French name. The tribe was the Shoshone. The Shoshone Nubian tribe. Why? Because Ben York's name was not Ben York. That was a name given to him. Son of York. His father's name was Ali. I know. It's my grandpa. On my mother's side. They came here from Mali. You understand that? And was taken into slavery because he spoke all the dialects of the different tribes who came here. The Native American tribes that are here came because of a Chinaman named Ho Shen. When he got here, he met people that were already here. Woolly haired, dark-skinned people that they called the Kachina. They also called them the Hopi from the Egyptian deity Hapi. And they married and lived with them in peace. And they produced what you see today as Orientals, with slant eyes and round faces and light skin and straight hair. The giveaway is understanding the science of hair. 9, the highest number. The zodiac does not have 12 signs. They didn't find the last two planets until after the 18th century. So they couldn't add 12 signs of the zodiac back in the biblical times. They only had 6 months in the year. That's why they made a mistake and said Jesus was born in the year 1. Because he was born in the month of June. Nola, they called the Most High. So these people came over here, these Chinese, his name is Ho Shan, look it up. Sailed to California, mixed in with us, and reduced the Native Americans. The dead giveaway is in the hair. Don't get mad, relax. I'm not going to do nothing but tell you the truth, and I want you to check it out and call me a fool. I want you to believe nothing I say. It ain't worth it. Only Chinese and Native Americans have hollow hair. Did you know that? Did you know that they have hollow hair? Do you know that that's why Chinese can't curl their hair? We have Orientals in the town. That makes me get first-hand information. We have Native Americans in the town, the head of the Shoshone, the high priestess of the Shoshone Nubian tribe is here. She lives on Quebec with us. For all of those here who are part Native Americans. That's her job in the family. Only Native Americans and Chinese, and that's only some of the tribes of Native Americans, have hollow hair. Don't believe me. Be amazed. Check it out. Or better yet, come out the maze and find out. Proving that it was the Chinese, and they go back to the Ming Dynasty. The Ming Dynasty, the people had nappy hair. The later Mongolians got straight hair. They mixed in with people here on this continent with woolly hair and produced Native Americans. And that's why some Native Americans look Chinese. Amorites from out in the western part of the country raped the what they call squaw. And that's why a lot of Caucasian country boys also have Oriental eyes. I don't know if you noticed it. Their eyes look like they're Chinese, a lot of them country western singers. Because they're in their blood. And that's why every cowboy fit, they always have Chinamen in there. But they were marrying into them also. These are real facts. There's a whole lot of facts out there, but there's a real fact too. Some people go check out. Not stuff that people say, I'm not sure. Don't tell me about stuff and I'm not saying, can you prove it to me? You say, well, from what I heard a brother say, when the Declaration of Independence was being signed, some mysterious man walked in and told them, sign it. And all of them signed it. Who's the mysterious man? We don't know. Don't tell me about that kind of stuff.
Right.
Don't tell me about it unless you can prove it to me. Because I've been lied to so many times. I've been lied to in Islam. I've been lied to in Judaism. I've been lied to in Christianity. I've been lied to in the Rosicrucian Seventh-day Adventist. I've been lied to by so many different people. If you can't bring me no facts, keep it, y'all. Just keep it. And if you're going to bring it, I'm going to ask. I'm trying to raise a group of people here that will ask questions. That's why we're the only ones who we started. Now everybody's trying it. Come on in, sit down and ask questions. They don't care. They don't want it. They can't do it, my sister. They can't stand here and take it. They won't let me come up and then question what's in there.
No.
He said, bring Dr. Yorkie, mommy. That's demon. That's demon. I'll be all kind of name. But all of them said, no. Because after I said, this is not a fence. This is a tolerable bush. Fez is a place in Morocco. Fez,
here you go again.
Fez is an Arabic word. They say this, Fez. There is no such Arabic word as Fez. It is a French word. The French Foreign Legion wore fezes, which was a short cap similar to this with a brim and claw. And when they inducted the Algerians into the army, because they couldn't pray with a brim on the front of it, they tore the brim off. You understand? And that's the short fez that you hear the Masonics use. It has nothing to do with the royal tarbush. If you're going to sound right in front of the world, stand up and say, this is a tarbush. And this is not new in the Ansar Allah community. It's not new. I'll show you a picture of me wearing a tarbush bush in 1970. That's how we used to wear it. Long before we switched into Tagiers and Emmas, we were known for our fez, as they called it, and we had kept saying, no, tarbush, fez, tarbush, fez is a place where, women, where, when the crusade was overpowered, the Muslims, they keep saying they won, they lied. The Knights of Templars overpowered them and cut off Mecca and cut off Jerusalem. They had to reroute the pilgrimage to Fez. And there, the Freemasons picked up the headdress of the Frenchmen. The word, what's the more?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh,
this word here?
The whole truth.
Bay?
Oh.
It's not Arabic. It's
no.
Turkish. What are Turks? Germanic French people. The word comes from the Turkic word B-E-G, beg. And it means a ruler, but it's not one of our names. However, the name El, which is mispronounced as eel, like Faraz is mispronounced, can be found as El and and goes back to the name Ali. But there's no Bay, J, L, Al, Ali. L, Al, and Ali are all the same name. And it leads back to, you want some more?
Yeah.
It leads back to Ali, the nephew of the Prophet Muhammad, born 570 and 632, died 632 of Arabia, the so-called Arabian Prophet. His daughter Fatima married Ali. And Ali, the way they spell it in a Shrine temple, is A-L-E-E. Look at the man. Is the one who initiated Masonic love for a Shrine temple in this country in 1877. The year you say Farah was born. That's when they brought it here, when some noblemen, Caucasians, got initiated by the Saudi Arabian government to bring the information here. The Moroccan government did the same thing years before that to Americans. So you have a Moroccan lodge here, they'll say Moors right on their fez. And you have the ancient Arabic order, then you have the ancient Egyptian Arabic order. One taking it down to the daughters of ISIS, one taking it back to Saudi Arabia, to Mecca. They go to Mecca and they perform the ritual in Mecca at the Kaaba. They dismantle their camel there. All of this was brought to this country and taught to you as real Islam for you. And as Mishi said, well, the Amorites used to respect us. When they saw you in the fez, they wanted to know, did you know what you were wearing? But when you put up the five-pointed star and crescent, they said, they don't know. Ain't no sun can get in front of no moon. Ain't no 5-point star present to be a real symbol. Cause a star is a sun. You can't get the sun in front of the moon under no circumstances. So it must be an illusion. It must be for confusion. You follow what I'm saying? What is the symbol? They think the shrine of symbol is a star present with a sword on the top. That's not what it is. It's the claw of the world bending tiger. That's what you see. Ask anybody who walked through the lodge who want to say it. You don't know what you're talking about. The symbol you're riding on is on the Bahamut symbol. You know what the Bahamut is? The Mendez symbol. You know what the Mendez is? The inverted pentagram of the ram's head? The man who wrote the book, the Aquarian Gospel of Jesus, from which the modern scientists get their Quran Circle 7. He's the one who drew that picture of that creature. Look on the bottom and you see his name in the outside on the bottom of it. He drew a creature with fingers like this and with a 5-pointed star here, a half goat and half woman and half man, and with hands like this and with a white crescent there and a black crescent there and a star in his head. Talking about white Islam and black Islam. It's all under the devil. When they took it out of its pristine purity and then gave it back to you tampered with. Not the more. By the time they got into the picture, all they had was Shriner information. They don't know nothing about real Islam, the religion Millah, Ibrahim, and Hanifa. They don't know nothing about it. That's why the Muslims keep saying, no, religion is deen. It's the deen of Islam. The deen of Islam, no, it's Millah, Millah, Holy Quran, chapter 2, verse 130, it says Millah, the religion of Abraham. No. No, you know why? Because you say Abraham before Moses, they couldn't explain what his religion is. Because his religion would be Nuwako. And they can't explain that. They got to get after Moses to get to a religion. Because Moses, according to them, received the Torah. And the book of Leviticus gave them their first law. And then the New Testament came after that. So the Christians get their religion from the New Testament, the Jews get their religion from the Torah, and the Muslims get their religion from the Quran that came after the Injil, as they call it, for the New Testament. So what was Abraham's religion? They don't know. And they can't know Abraham was a Muslim. Prove it. Show me in the Torah. Well, that's because he prostrated. Okay, sounds nice, doesn't it? But he prostrated before you became Muslim. So it's not that he is a Muslim because he prostrated. It's you Muslims stole his prostration. You got it backwards. What makes Abraham a Muslim? Circumcision? He had to be taught that, and that was a Babylonian custom. What makes Abraham a Muslim? They don't know. They can't prove it. The Holy Quran speaks of Abraham's books. We gave Abraham the book. They, where's Abraham's book? They don't know. They don't have it. Yet you want me to follow you and say it's right and exact, and I should base my whole life on your translation of a Quran or your translation of a Torah, and you don't have no facts. I'm supposed to live until I die on this hopes. I need some facts for my soul's sake. And for the souls of my children and their children, I need some facts. I don't need no more myths. Make things clear to me. And I told y'all when I came on the scene, I came to step on this. People are not going to like me. But I'm a made man. Made for you, not made for the Masonic Lodge. Made for you. I have been prepared to answer questions. That's why they raised me. I was born speaking 19 languages. I don't want to be this. I would prefer to be a doctor or a singer. They talk about doctors more fun than this. But I came programmed with information to inflame you. So get your palate lit up again. Facts. Get you jumping again. Get you moving again. Get you alive, Lazarus. Now when you go out there, you say, no, that ain't no fed brother, that is a... And then we can go to the dictionary and look that up. Say, no, that thing fed, this there, we ain't no bay. Bay is Turkish, we ain't no Turks. Turks are European. We are eels or elves, and that eel or elf was waiting for Geb, Number gift to come from Shu. When Shu, the God of here, comes down to give, and you put the L. Gabriel, Nusku, waiting for the incarnation of an angel in flesh. Again, do angels come in flesh? According to your Bible, it says right in the 11th chapter that the gods in heaven looked down and saw the mystery. So one of them came down to earth and then came back and told the Heavenly Father, man is mischief making. And they said, let's go down there and see what he's doing in your Bible. So some beings from up there came down here, and when they got here, what did they see? And what did they do? They diversified the tongue. How hard is it to diversify the tongue? Is it difficult? No, it's extremely simple. It's called mass hypnosis. You can go to Las Vegas and send an audience of a magician who calls himself Fraud. And he hypnotizes the whole audience and has people acting like dogs and clowns and all kind of weird things without them even knowing it. That's right. Ask me why I went to Las Vegas. I wanted to see Luxor. I want to see this thing they built called a pyramid and a sphinx. I want to see what they're doing with our way of life. Because if you don't use it, they will. They don't want you to go nowhere near Egypt. You know why? Because you can see yourself on the wall in Egypt. So they can't lie to you. They want you to call yourself Muslim because Muslims don't have no images. See that game? So we call ourselves black Muslims, this kind of Muslims, Muslims, all kind of stuff, but we can't show no pictures of ourselves to verify it. So people say, man, Muslims are Arabs. And Arabs don't have woolly hair, they have straight hair. They belong to the straight hair family. They're not one of y'all. You understand that? They want you to call yourself Hebrews because according to Hebrews, Torah, it's forbidden to make pictures. It's forbidden to make statues of yourself. It's forbidden to make images of yourself. They don't want you to be no Yoruba. They don't want to see no statue of Shango in your house. Or Obatala. They don't want you to be no Santaria. When you see a Shango statue, they don't want that. You follow what I'm saying? But it's all right for the Catholics to have saint this, saint that, saint this, and a whole bunch of white people statues. It's all right for the Muslims all over the Muslim world. And if you travel, and I have all over the world, if you go to Morocco now, you see King Hussein's pictures all over the street. If you go to Saudi Arabia, you see a royal family and big posters, I mean life-size and bigger. All over. Pictures of themselves. But they'll tell you, don't paint no pictures. They got mad when I did a picture of the Prophet Muhammad. He said, he's a black magician, crazy. But they know the power of a picture. You know the power of a picture and an image in the heart of a child. And in Genesis, it says, I created man in my image after my life. I made a picture of him and gave him my attitude. They want to take away the picture and leave the attitude. I put back the picture and the attitude. I got people walking around saying, no. And he doesn't say he's God. All of us are God. There can't be a he is a God because the Bible and the Quran both uses us and we.
That's right.
So they all of us got, oh, are we not God? Didn't Jesus say, is it not written in your law, I said ye are?
Right, sure did.
And all of you are children of the most. There must be one from amongst you who is the wisest amongst you. There's not a person in this room, even though some of y'all think you can, that can stand up and go toe-to-toe with me in facts. If you say you're Muslim, I'll switch right into Arabic on you. If you say you're Hebrew, I'll switch into Hebrew. That's what you're supposed to know. You will not stand up in front of me and take out a Christian Bible by a Caucasian named King James and tell me this is your Bible. You don't have a your Bible. until one of you translates it. As long as it's a King James Bible from the Anglican Church of England, you ain't from England, you ain't Anglican, that's not your church, and King James Bible is not yours. So when Yahweh and Yahweh put out his own Bible, and all he did is took pics, drew some cartoons of black people, and stuck it inside a King James Bible and rebound it, that's not our Bible. You ain't got no Bible until you got your own Bible. To someone who's sensitive to your feelings, translate one for you. Someone who'll find the word nigger in there. You know why? Because old Reverend Porkchop and Pastor Chisholm is not going to tell you about no nigger in the Bible. Don't you get mad at me. I'm the fat man, like I said before. I'm the best thing that happened to you.
Right.
For no other reason. And for no other reason, you ain't sitting there with stumbling under a spell thinking I'm trying to hurt you. You get enough information to ask questions that might open your mind. But if you're stooping under some kind of white spell, then you think I'm the bad guy. I'm the boogeyman. Because you've been trained to hate dark skinned people. If I was standing there high, yellow, curly hair, I'd get a heck of a lot more attention. Standing there all tone with woolly hair makes it difficult. Because you've been trained to love other than yourself.
Right.
They start with their hair. Tell your boy, split it. You better get your hair cut, because split end will make your hair fall out. Your hair does not grow out from the ends, brothers and sisters. Your hair grows from the roots. Split ends do not make your hair fall out. They just don't want you to go natural. They want you to be a stretcher. You know what a stretcher is? Your lips are too big, I was taught don't like it. Your nose is too wide, I was taught don't like it. Your hair was a short, beautiful, natural, I was taught you look like a boy. And he does that, and now most Caucasian men are walking around with shoulder length hair and walk up and ask them, they look like girls. Who established that fact? How can I love you if you don't love you?
Come on with it.
How can I love your image if you don't love the way you
come
look?
On with it. Throw that hard punch.
When I see my beautiful Latino sisters, they have wavy hair. That's how they fit their hair what? Supposed to be. You got woolly hair, how's your hair supposed to be?
Woolly.
Come together and love each other, respect each other for what you are. But don't try to make all the Latino sisters think they're white, all the Negro girls think they're white. And then we men, Latino and Nubian men, are lost trying to find a woman.
Come on,
we got fell in love with short Shirley Temple.
Come on, wait a minute.
And then we don't know how to respect you when you get up in the morning before you put on your clown costume. Most of the fights take place in Nubian houses in the morning. Before she can dress up like Shirley Temple.
Come on now.
While she is still Alice wandering in the land. All of this is a part of the spell.
That's right.
I didn't just come here to break down the Bible. I can take you through this Bible word by word. From language to translation to research to etymology. I've been doing it for years. I'm the best at it.
Right.
You follow? And they don't like the fact I'm the best at it. Because I don't fit the mold. They want me to be a certain way. They want me to go to a cemetery. A seminary. They want me to put a cross on my head. Like a tombstone. And there's crescents on tombstones in Islamic countries. Make it just a Christian thing. Muslims are just as numb as the Christians. Don't be fooled. Got real quiet now, isn't it? It's all right to pounce up and down on Christians, Muslims.
Come on now.
I'll take and give each one of y'all one of the days.
Come on, wait a minute.
I'll talk to you Muslims too. Tell me something that you got that's original. You can't give me nothing original in Islam. Nothing.
Come on, wait a minute.
Your prayers come from the Jews. Prostration is in the Bible before the Quran was revealed. Your pilgrimage comes from Egypt. Ramses II had 4 wives and 100 concubines. That's what Muhammad's Quran gets the 4 wives thing.
Come on with it now.
You understand? Old great Solomon, who's in the Quran as Suleiman, built the greatest temple. What greatest temple? The greatest temple is built in Luxor. Built to Amun-Ra, one of your ancestors. Solomon's temple is just a myth. You want some more magic? Here's some more magic.
Come on with it.
Matthew 24, we talked about it last week. Matthew 24, when Jesus was with his disciples, Jesus promised them that not one rock will be left there. All the rocks in the temple of Jerusalem would fall. Matthew 24, read it. But right now, as me and you go to Israel, right now, there's Jews standing at the Wailing Wall, the Western Wall of the Temple of Solomon. And they're standing at that wall, they're reading their Tanakh, and they're rocking like this. Right. We're 2,000 years away from Jesus, and that wall is still standing. Mr. Preacher, or preachers for me, tell me, did Jesus make a mistake? Or is this book of Matthew's a lie?
Which is?
Was one of them wrong? That's right.
Come on with it now.
It says in Matthew 24, where are we here? Okay. Verse 2, and Jesus said unto them, see not all these things. Verily, I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be torn down. So if you're waiting for Jesus to come, he can't come until the temple is torn down. So
heaven who's telling you Jesus is coming soon, better keep his eyes on that wall. Because in his prophecy, they were asking him, what will be the signs of his coming? What will be the signs of the end of the world? Matthew 24. And he told him, first the wall was come down, the whole temple. And the temple is not down. In fact, they are building on it right now.
Come on with it now.
They're taking it back. The Jews laugh when Christians say the Solomon's Temple belongs to them. Solomon's Temple is in the hands of the Knights of Temple. Freemasons control Solomon's Temple.
That's right.
Freemasons control the pilgrimage in Mecca. The Freemasons were controlling the White House in Washington. When Benjamin Franklin built the White House in Washington, it was a black president. George Washington was not the first president, he was a general. He was appointed president by a black man.
Come on with it.
That White House is called White House. I'm saying that White House is called White House because I got to go to another language for you. Dar Beda. An Arabic word meaning Dar House Beda, White House. That was the original capital of Morocco. First it was Old Fez, then it became Dar Beda, which they call Casa in Spanish, Casa Blanca, the White Capital House. And then it became Rabat, which it is now. But Dar Beda. When did that happen? It happened when you lied and said you chopped down the cherry tree and showed us the cherry tree was a bed. And then you brought up a Moroccan flag, a big old red flag with a green Jewish star in it, still solid, and told me that was my flag. And you told Noble Jew that you made him think he was getting something. That is not the Moroccan flag. That flag was introduced into Morocco in the 17th century. It was all read by Hassan II. I studied in Morocco. In Arabic. There's papers of me in Morocco years ago. Any old answer I'll tell you. Did I study in Morocco? Yeah. I speak Moroccan dialect. I know the language. I was there in the university studying there. That is not the original Moroccan flag. Another lie that got to be gotten rid of. You can go and do the research. The Moroccan, they call them the Moravia group of French barbers, as they call them, brought in that red flag with a man called Hassan II. And the French put the star on it because these were French Jews. You understand that? Called the Sephardis, who lived in Spain also, and Portugal. They put the star. No. The six-pointed star is not the Jewish star. Open your Bible to Genesis chapter 15, verse 1, and you find out that that six-pointed star is called a molan Iraq, a shield. Molan means shield. Nazum means star. When they say the star of David, they are misguiding you. The word is molan Devan, which means the shield of David. You understand me? That five-pointed star is their symbol. They don't go above five senses. And when they say, this lady's going to be uncomfortable. Okay? This is just for the ladies not to be uncomfortable. Men understand. All of us understand. When they say, arm, leg, arm, head, and say that represents a man, they're leaving out a very important point.
Come on now.
I got to go there.
You
got to
clear out the house.
I got to do it. I mean, if y'all over 10, I ain't got to go there. Still a lingering in the darkness, and I got to go there.
Come on with it.
I ain't taking no help.
Come on with it.
Let's point things out.
just like me. You know, now we gotta stop being lied to. We gotta put the cap back on and start thinking again. And click the light on this time. Don't just put the hope in. Click the light on. I see a whole bunch of people in the cap on, ain't done nothing. I see a whole bunch of folks with turbans on. That's like somebody wrapping a box and ain't no president. But when you open the box, it's a prize, a little TV dress. I see them walk around and you see them dressed from head to toe like a Muslim. Turban and staff and perfume and skin lip and eyeliner and the whole film. And the most they can say is, Salaam alaikum. You say, Walaikum salam, kayfa halak. They say, Alhamdulillah. Where'd you learn Arabic? Oh, I don't speak Arabic. So how do you read the Quran? In English? Excuse me. You told me that the language is English, is the devil's language. So you're telling me the devil is teaching you your Islam? Well, my mom reads English, that's good for your soul, eh? What about your soul? And yours? What about reality? I've been teaching my followers, but it was my ansama. If they hear, they'll stand up and we can converse in Arabic. I wasn't the teacher who was trying to look heavy and leave his followers dumb so he looked heavy. That's not my style. Everything I know, I spent all day. My voice is hurting, but last night I was teaching. The night before I was teaching. The day before that, I teach counseling. I'm not teaching. I know you know what I'm doing. Ain't nobody got so many books coming out. Why? Because I'm on a head trip. I'm not on a political trip. I know we don't have no political crop in this doggone country. Anything that has a P on it don't pertain to us. Ain't no P's in none of our Semitic languages. Ain't no P in Arabic. Ain't no P in Hebrew. They added her in there. Right. Don't pertain to us. The five P's is the five-pointed star. Politics. Polytheism. Psychology. Those are the five P's. And the Eastern stars. Back them up, because they're wise. Eastern star, the star out of the east. Five selected women. I see that look in your face. Five selected women. For what purpose? To protect Mary. What Mary? Do you know who Mary is when they get to the higher degrees? Huh? You don't think I know it? Going to Virginia to my relative's house. And walk and look on the mantelpiece and see all my uncles and them standing there in Freemasonry clothes in Virginia right now, standing next to the president, Hoover. Right? Who worked his way from presidency to the FBI. Because he was such a tyrant, he was a Freemason. They all stand like this. I have all the books.
Come on, with it.
What's he talking about? He's talking about the Book of Revelation. Where a woman is standing in a crescent.
Tima.
Right, and the Christians will call her Our Lady of Fatima, the Blessed Mother Mary. Now, will you please tell me why the Catholics have adopted Our Lady of Fatima, a Muslim, the daughter of the Prophet Muhammad, for another name for Fatima, for Mary? Because they knew that Ali child would be born.
Come on,
they knew Ali was coming, a Mahdi. They knew that Mahdi would be linked with both one foot on the land and one foot in the sea. They knew he would have Africa in it, and he would have America in it. They knew he would have the tongue, the two-edged tongue to cut up the lies. They knew I was coming. I got 19 incarnations already, and I'm now receiving the 20th, the 21st, and the 22nd. You understand what that meant? Noble Drew Ali, Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and Clarence 13X. The three sisters. Now I'm receiving incarnations for them. Otherwise, there'd be no reason for me in what I'm doing to take the time to do a book called Quran 37. Why? Do I need to be bothered? Do I need the arguments?
That's right.
Do I need the negativeness? for coming in and taking a book that they've had since 1913, and nobody won't put it from this into this, so it's permanent.
Okay.
Why me? Because Noble Drew Ali spoke to my heart and asked me to do it. He said his flocks are scattered. Say everybody wants to be him.
Yeah.
All these self-righteous and self-acclaimed, some of people call themselves Noble Drew Ali, stand up and recite his personal prayer as a as you know they're doing it. Donald Elijah Muhammad spoke to my heart. I told him that back in 1990. No. He came and told me something. That's why these lessons are out. He said, clean up the mess for me. So, set my soul free. I'm bounded by this foolishness. That Quran set me free. I said, okay. I'll take on the job. Stay in touch. I'm an angel and ask some questions. Because I know they're going to come thinking they can deal with it. All I say is if these books are not true about the total history of Master Quran Muhammad, then y'all produce one. Or if you tell us why haven't you produced one since 1930? Why haven't you produced a clear history of the man, his birth, his death, some more than a side photo of him, his fingerprint, his blood type, and everything he told? Why haven't you done it? Why? What are you keeping secret? Tell me more about Noble Drew Ali than what you want the world to think. His name is not Il. His name is not Bay. His name is not Day. His name is not El. His name is Sharif. And that's the family of the Prophet Muhammad, Sharif, the nobles. That's also the Shriners, the nobles. And he has Ali, the link to the angels. And that's why in the roots of his teaching there are Ali. Els and Eels are Hebrew. Are you with me? Just straighten this up for me.
Come on with it.
Straighten it up for me. Pretty soon you have what's called a problem book. It's finished. I'm talking about within a couple of days it'll be coming back from the printer, hard cover. The problem book. All the 5% lessons, plus lessons. All the stuff they taught in one book. Don't get mad at me. You need this. But them leaders out there don't want you to have all the information. They want to photostat a couple of copies of the big lesson to give you some of the 120. And change the words. Teach you something like I self, Lord and Master. Knowing somebody can come along and make you look like a fool. There's nothing I'm going to teach you if no one can make you look like a fool. And you take the time, just like you see what they say, I didn't get that down. Yes, you did, because I'm having a book, so you have it one day. So you will be able to use it. The problem book will be out. Get a copy of it. Why? Because the seven spoke and said, straighten it out for me. When you get there, straighten the mess up for me. Set the record straight for me. I'll try. So in my mission, I have to stop along the way and try to straighten out the mess of other people's missions. They can't do it with my teachings. I can stand up there and teach all day about the Morris scientists and their knowledge of the Zodiac, Yaqub's father, and how they cannot prove that's his name. I can teach you all day about the 5%. Poor righteous teachers, who's not even Jesus' temple, who's all wise righteous acts know who's doing in God. But I'm not poor. I'm extremely wealthy. I couldn't put out a million books a year if I wasn't. So, you see these books coming out of y'all? That's what else. You ain't doing them, I'm doing them. You ain't giving me no money, I'm doing this for you. I'm not a money preacher. I'm a teacher. Because I know what the information age means. I know when you got this book of Revelation, you understand all the symbolism, because I broke this thing down in how many languages, y'all? Three different languages. It's broke down in Greek, it's broke down in Aramaic, it's broke down in Arabic, translated English. It's one book, the whole book of Revelation, all the signs and symbols, so you can see the meaning of the words. Ain't no one gonna jump. I know when you digest this, I ain't gotta worry about the crap. I know when you digest this Torah, you can take the word, you see the word next to the face of the people, and get a glimpse, and Psalms, as they call it, is also, to him, is also finished. Enemy coming out. We don't have the songs to deal with.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. So now in my mission of translating all these things, I have to stop and go try to solve the problem for the nation of God about foreign. And solve the problem that's happening to Morris Sinatra. Because as this emphasis gets stronger and stronger in this Wichita thing, she gonna need some serious protection. Because she got some profound stuff to throw at you. She's a beautiful old lady. She got some profound stuff, but it's dangerous what she's saying. They killed her whole family. They'll kill you for it. Because it's fact. Like I said, I'm a kin to Ben York. I introduced it to y'all in the cowboy age. And all the fools didn't even know what I was talking about. Why is he in cowboy clothes? Cowboy? Cowboy? Yo, boy, take care of my cow. Cowboy? Cowboy for the Nubians. Haven't you heard of Cherokeeville? And there's no such tribe as Cherokee. That was a trick name. There's no such tribe as Sioux. That was a trick name. Oh, yeah. We were cowboys. We were wranglers. We used to lasso down an animal. They wouldn't go near an animal. They just became fuckers. You know what they were called by us? But all they would do, they practiced hitting the animals with whips. That's where they got the name Cracker. And we would walk up and talk to the animal. And then we could train the horse. We communicate with them, not with them. We were the cowboys.
Yes. Yes.
Cowboy boots came from a maxim, Mexico. That's who gave cowboy boots. Cowboy hats. It's called a Joe. You ever heard of it before? It's a round hat with a flat round brim. Indian Joe, they call it. Native American. Then the Amorite took it, punched it in, and blocked it, and it became a cowboy hat. The fringes on the cowboy clothes, Hebrews, Native Americans trimming, the apron and the Masonic lodge, Native Americans. And I must correct my young student here. You do find a third eye here in America on the headdress of Native Americans as a permit right here. They all have it right there. On their feathered headdress, you see a third eye symbol. And it doesn't exist in Russia. Don't none of that stuff belong to them. If you take down a borderline from California, Mexicans can walk here. This is their land. Now they're being treated like they're some kind of animals and beaten in the head with sticks when by people who don't belong here. It's their land. And don't think only it all came from Africa. Let me repeat, that is not true. Look at some of these papers. Look at some of these noses. Some of y'all indigenous people of this land were always here. In us, what they call Atlant, not Atlantis. That's how Plato misspelled it. And it's right now under the Bermuda Triangle. That's where it's at. The power center of our empire. Our United Nations, where all the crap will come in and charge themselves. When I like drive over there with those middle ships, they can zap right in. You ain't have no wooden plane or no wooden ship going in. They didn't start getting sucked into the Bermuda Triangle until they started going over there with steel. Things that make you go. Y'all must be inside here, man.
Oh no.
Okay. So the day has come.
Okay.
Called the information age. And I've got to put information out. Don't ask me what is my miracle. You name another man that's putting out as much information as me. Name any one teacher that's translating all the scriptures. You get a book every day. Now you got your ancient prayer called Tafut in your own language. Now we need a name of land, a language, meaning we need the Arabic, somebody else's language. Or the Hebrew, somebody else's name. When Allah John said you need your own name, now we need our own land, our own language. You got it. Learn your own language. Speak your own language, and anybody can ever correct you on the pronunciation in your own language. When I hear Muslim, he says, Alhamdulillah, I know. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. An hour. You follow that? That's what happens when Farrakhan and my brothers get up and they try to recite Fatiha. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahman, the Arabs are laughing. And they won't correct me. You make all, when you say it wrong, when I say it in Arabic, you blaspheme. You're making all kinds of things. Even worthy Muhammad who studied Egypt doesn't pronounce things correctly. They just laugh at them. I want them to laugh at Nawabit. And when you start speaking Nawabit, it's your language. They can't correct you. Don't you understand the importance of giving you back your own? So you have your own tongue. Nobody can correct you but you. And you keep it correct. What leader in all the history of your so-called enslavement or abuse have given you a language? No, they can't do it. Don't y'all see the miracle? The miracle is in the information, not in me going around popping things out the air. And I have been known to do that too. But that's not my job to do magic tricks for you. I am taking the meat and making them dumbfound wise. I want a congregation of people that read. Readers, I want you to read. I want you kids in school. I want you to learn. Just stop listening to junk music. Stop messing up, eating junk food, and get on the mind trip. I'm trying to answer every kind of question that can come at you from everybody, from any kind of religion, science, social studies, history, and extraterrestrials. Trying to do it all in a little bit of time. You with me? That's all I'm trying to do. To make sure whatever comes before you, you can deal with it factually. You can flip this book over and they say, well, in the Bible you say Genesis 1.
That's right.
And I tell Genesis 9:25, first you can.
And then
okay, so we want another. And then you can check that word. If you don't believe me, go get a Strong's Concordance or a Hebrew Encyclopedia, wherever you want, and check it. But you always got to check. I listen to people and they're kind of quoting from white man's books. White man's clipping. See this picture here? Right behind that white man is a black man. Because we was always standing behind him. And he wasn't the servant, he was the teacher. Nigga, that was the slave. Stop lying to people. He's standing right behind George Washington. He was George Washington's teacher. That was a slave. The Moors wasn't in bondage when George Washington was here. He wouldn't have to stand behind George Washington if they made a constitution that the Moors were free people in America. He would be able to stand right next to them.
Right.
Don't be telling them, and all these are drawings. These ones are all drawings, drawn by Amorites, drawn by Caucasians. They see that? See the guy with a fez on. That one got a fez on. They wasn't slaves. Freemasons wear feathers and they're still slaves. They call themselves free, but they're still slaves. Prince Hall Masons are just as much slaves as you are. And they could be in a restaurant with a Caucasian Freemason who won't even acknowledge their presence. And we'll see the square numbers on their finger, on their hat, on it. They still won't acknowledge you. Won't give you a grip, won't acknowledge you in darkness or in light. So you done joined into something that ain't yours. You understand? Now you got your own grandmaster. And I can answer all the mysteries of Hiram Abyss. And not even Hiram Hades. I know the signs of Joktan and Boaz, another B&M. You follow this information. But it's so frail. It is so fragile. That once a Nubian or Luwapian becomes a Freemason, he doesn't live any better. He still has a 9-to-5, he's still slave. What am I doing? I am raising you out of ashes. I am building a place, Egypt, right here for you. I am giving people jobs. We're putting people in these books, or people are buying these books all over the place. I tell you, go open a bookstore. I ain't open no bookstore. Them people are buying books all over the place. Average one of our stores makes $4,000 or $5,000 a week. It's not my money. It's not for me. I gave it to them. Now, if they open a store, they make their money. And they're supporting themselves. They open and close when they feel like. And as I'm teaching you right now on Sunday,
all across this country and in the Caribbean and South America and Europe, that you can gather and hear teaching. And as you go there, you buy books and stuff that happen in their store. And you could have your own. Then buy your own house out here on the land with us. And be amongst your own, let your children run free and safe under our protection, your protection. I know where my children are right now. I know someone's looking out for them right this minute. Some of y'all are down here, you might get home and find your house burglarized. I haven't locked my door since I lived here. I don't lock my car, I need the car keys and ignition. Can you do that? So you ain't in Islam anyway because you ain't in a peace of mind. You live in an unpeaceful environment, how can you even have peace of mind? You got to have peace of mind to say that you're a Muslim. People say, y'all, we all are real Muslims. We just don't use the term Muslim no more. Because the term Muslim is synonymous with terrorism now. Because a bunch of demons got into Islam after Muhammad. Chased, killed his daughter, chased his family out of Arabia. All the hijaz into Egypt, trying to kill all the real Muslims. Abu Bakr Sadiq and them was slime. They tried to kill Fatima. They wouldn't let Ali and Fatima talk to the Prophet Muhammad on his dying bed. It's in the hadith. Aisha writes a disgusting hadith to bring down the carriage of the Prophet Muhammad by semen on her clothes and stuff. In the Bukhari, in the Shafi, in the Muslim hadith. About him having wives at the age of 7 and consummating the marriage at 9. That ain't in the Quran, but it's in the hadith. And when I told Muslims I don't want nothing to do with the hadith, they got mad at me. You ain't no Muslim then. I don't want no hadith that tells me that the Prophet Muhammad was a low-life pervert. I ain't buying that crap. And the Quran doesn't tell me to obey no hadith. The Quran says it's the best of hadith. The Quran says it's the best of sunnah. The Quran says Muhammad was the best of examples. So if Muhammad is the best of examples, then you're telling me I'm supposed to go get a 7-year-old girl and make her my wife at 9? I'm supposed to have 13 wives and the Quran says only have 4? I'm supposed to kill men and take the women and marry them for booty? Eh? No. Somebody got in al-Islam in its pristine purity with their hadith and their customs and their traditions and their choice. And it even happened in the Mahdiya in Sudan. When it was digging up my father's body, I mean, he ain't supposed to dig up body. He was born, he was buried on the borderline of Ethiopia, but he was betrayed by Haile Selassie. You understand that? So I said, well, go ahead. He got to stay there. They started digging him so busy trying to be politically strong, they want to unite all the Ansars by digging up his body and moving into the Kufa in Omdurman. Wrong! Islam tells us not to do that, especially amongst the Sudanese. And our family, the Dungalawa, Nala tradition, and the ancient Bida, we come from the Fuzzy Wuzzy, we don't believe in moving out there. You understand what I'm saying? The Israelites moved, they dead, they moved Jacob's body from one in the world to the next, leading to death. When I saw them corrupting Mahdiism, I put it down. So there's no place for me in it. When I saw them uniting with Saudi Arabia, the Ansars, come on, Isa. We're going to Sharm al-Sheikh. We're going to Saudi Arabia and have meetings for money. I don't want their money. Says Saudi hooks up with Hassan Zawabi from the Ikhwani Muslim, lets him marry his daughter. And I say, this man is an Ikhwani, a Muslim brother like them fools that blow things up. He's not no Ansar. We Ansar don't marry nothing but Ansar. What's your problem? So say Saudi is mad. Oh, he ain't related to me no more. Now I'm not related to him no more. For over 20 years, Ansars from the Sudan would come to Brooklyn in the middle of the ghetto to see me. Were you there? They would come to Brooklyn, Bushwick section. I mean, prime ministers that taught the head of Islamic education. They would come to Brooklyn to pray in their minds with me and sleep in my house, says Saudi. But the moment I went up against their political endeavors against my father with his Ummah party, against the Mahdiya, I'm no longer a Muslim now.
They all inside my bedroom talking like I got hundreds of wives. I got one wife. When I was an Ansar, I had a whole lot of wives, but that's what Islam teaches. And them Sunnis will stand out there lying their arms over from wife to wife. It teaches us to abuse women. Islam makes it easy to do. You can have four wives, as many concubines as you can support. I was a wealthy man. I was a leader. It was convenient. But that's not in the Waqf, that's in Islam. That's what it teaches you. In the Waqf, we don't have no polygamy or polygamy. You know what I teach? If you mother can have four wives, your wife can have four husbands.
That's right.
But she is not beneath us. Don't quote no Quran. Women is created except beneath men. Who said that for a man? Women, do you know scientifically it's a fact that women use more of their brain than we do? So now who made the mistake? The Quran or the interpreters? And the Quran is writing exactly how, right? La rayba fi, no doubt in it. Then it's not the Quran that's messed up in the language, it's these doggone teachers and translators. But for the love of me, I could not get that across to my brothers. Bilal Phillips and them conspired to write a book about me called Ansar Call. The time they spent writing that book about me, they could have translated the Quran for themselves. The money they spent in pushing that book out, they could have had someone dawah out. I'm just a nobody, remember? I'm just Dwight York, who converted in 1968-65 in State Street, just a nigger. So why is Dwight York, just a disco singer, so important that the Arab world of Saudi Arabia writes a book about me, as I'm nobody?
Right.
They don't have a book out on Farrakhan. They don't have a book out on Noble Drew Ali. So if I'm just a nobody, just a nigga, why did Saudi Arabia back a Jamaican-born American living in Canada to write a book about me? And the book didn't address my teaching, it was all up in my business. They're so dumb that I wrote my signature wrong and put 19, in Arabic 7 in Sudan, and like a 4 and 3 look the same in Arabic. They're stupid, they don't know that. Because neither one of these are not, this is not an Arabic letter. This is not Arabic. That's Hindu. That Arabic number they give you, it's not Arabic. That was a Hindu. Come look it up. In Sudan, we didn't write like that when we was in school. We learned Arabic like this. The original 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, and 1. The original Arabic numbers. Go look it up. It's in Morocco. You can find it. Real mathematics. So he said, born in 1935. That makes me right now 61 years old. And my beard is white because I want it white right now. You understand? Because last week it was black. I know you're going to ask me that. And if I wanted black to be black tomorrow. Not because I died, because I can think it black.
All right, come on with it.
And you got the same power to come here and give it to you, but not deep. So now they spend all that time writing a book about me. And I tell him, I said, Bilal Phillips, the Saudi Arabians, who are Turkish, and Indians, because Saudi Arabia is our land, we ain't no Asiatics. The word Asia means Orient. Orient stops after the Persian Gulf. Stop letting them tell you you're Asiatic. You ain't no Asiatic. Now, Asiatic people are our people, so we're one family, but we are not Asiatics. Asia is the Arabic word. It means Oriental. Are you an Oriental? No. Stop that. Right? So now they write this whole book. Now, I tell Bilal Phillips, Bilal, go ask one of them Saudi Arabians, can you Sunni Muslims make hijrah there? Can you move there and live in one of the most progressive countries in the world? Because they got oil. They got wealth. Try Qatar. Try Abu Dhabi. Try Riyadh. Try Makkah. Medina. Jeddah. Try any one of those Saudi Arabian places. Ask them, can you move your brothers and sisters, Muslims from America, there? They let Idi Amin move there. To Jeddah. But not into Mecca. Allowed you to move into Saudi Arabia and give y'all your own little country. American Muslims. Ask that. Ask them, can you marry their daughters? Ask them why you can't find red-skinned Arabs with the name Bilal. Why don't none of them call themselves Bilal? They got every name but Bilal. You'll say, well, I know one Arab son is named Bilal. Bilal was an Ethiopian. Habashiyah, they say in Arabic. Kushi, the real name. You with me?
Yeah.
Ask them those questions while they're attacking me, their brother. They're trying to raise up my people my way. Not your way, my way. And why do I need my way? Because in your way, you say the Prophet Muhammad had white armpits. That's what you have in the Bukhari Hadith. And that bothers me. Because you're telling me there's no racism in Islam, and you're pointing out the color of his armpits is white. You're telling me there's a hadith that says, hear and obey, even if an Ethiopian slave is put above you. And they say, see, that means even an Ethiopian can be a... No, back up. That's an even if, as if there's something wrong with us.
Sorry.
You understand? Bilal can call the Adhan. He's a Mu'adhan. He's a singer. Something always attributed to black people singing. I don't need that, man. I don't need it. I need my own stuff back. So I went on a journey all throughout Egypt, studying. And to my surprise, I saw that the positions that we were making in Salah, each one of those positions were on the walls in the pyramid in Karnak. That the word wudu is an Egyptian word meaning see you later. And kabush was an Egyptian word for what they're calling ghusl, washing up. I saw the words there. You know what I'm saying? I saw that Islam stole everything out of Egypt. You know what really caught me? When I was making Hajj in Mecca, I got to Jeddah and you put on what's called an ihram. Say, ihram. It's a white seamless robe that they say Nabi Ibrahim wore. Right? When I looked at the word ihram in Arabic, I saw an alif and a hay and a ra and a leaf and neem. And I said, if you put a fatha and take away the kesra, it becomes ahram, right? Yeah. That's the Arabic word for pyramid. Right? Yeah. And the pyramid is shaped like the apron of Osiris. You see that black statue, he's standing with his hand like this. He says, this apron comes out as a pyramid. I said, and the word haram, or unlawful, is the same word. And the word harem, where they keep their wives, is the same word. And the first people to have harems were the Egyptians. And the first men to wear white seamless robe were the priests of Amun-Ra. And the men to wear the aprons were the kings and priests of Egypt, of Amun-Ra again. So I said, is there a relation between Islam and Egypt that they're not telling us? And I found out today, in Islam, and I've taught this thing for years, buddy, and that's what bothers me, because Islam steals your children. And I'll tell you about that too. In Islam, they have a word, huwa, which they appear sometimes at the end of the sentence like this, who, or he, and it means he or it. Women is a ha and a wa. Now, at the end of the sentence, they put the al and attach it. Ali, Lamb, Ali, he puts some vowels, then it comes Allah. But the power of the word is not in the Allah, it's in the Illah. In the who? You got that? And I look in the Egyptian books and found out that the highest deity was who? The creator, source of will. And even the people, ancient pygmy of Zimbabwe had Hewi. For who? The creative source of will. The being that gave man willpower. The will to do right and wrong. And I looked and said, there's an Egyptian god called Hu. And when Arabic, if I want to call somebody, I say, Ya Ahmed, Ya Ali, Ya Muhammad, Ta'ala, come here. I say, yeah, first. So I added the yeah to the name of the creator who, and I came up with Yahuwah. That the name Yahuwah was someone calling on the Egyptian deity who. I went on back in the story. I watched Hagar because I knew she was Egyptian. I said, I knew I had to have supper with Hagar, the Egyptian, and Abraham. Now, found out that Hagar calls on the god El Roy. And I saw the Arabic word Ra, to see. The seeing one, the eye. R-A-L-L-E, you can't think of 15. Didn't you see what we did? Those people lied about the dean. I said, oh boy, D. Del, Yalun, of religion. And I said, D. Dionysus, Dina, Dina, the crescent deity. The female deity of the crescent. Islam. D. And the why does the Quran have Milla as the religion of Islam and D. The last revelation of Allah to Muhammad said, Yadkhuluna fi dinillahi afwajan. Yadkhuluna fi dinillahi afwajan. They enter into the deen of Allah in groups. So is it deen Allah? So there's other deen other than Allah's deen? Then I said, of course it is. Well, in the Torah, the Hebrew word hadin. Ha. Din. Sorry. In Hebrew, ha-din, means the same thing. Ha-din, it's the same word, din. Dinah, the Jesus daughter. A female, the tribe that Israelites try to hide, like Jacob didn't have another daughter named Dina. It's Isis and Osiris worship. I said, Isis and Osiris, what's going on here? I said, how's this tie in with Egypt? The Quran, you open the Quran to what they call in the second and the largest chapter of the Quran is called Surah Al-Baqarah. The degree of the cow. But in that chapter, don't talk about cows, it talks about the golden calf of Israel. And the golden calf of Israel is Hathor, another name of a deity that incarnated through Hagar. And the symbol of Hathor was the horn. Or an ancient crescent with a circle in it. The circle is the sun. Replace it with you get a star. I started saying to myself, Isa, Isa, Isa. Somebody's playing tricks. How am I going to unfold this mess? How am I going to show the Muslims in America that they've been lied to? They've been deceived, they've been tricked, they don't want to hear the truth. They like following paralyzed, the narrative they can get to themselves without being self. We don't care nothing about it. Arabs are making millions of dollars a year, millions of dollars a minute. But they're not building nothing in this country for the Muslims here. Or they build mosques in London. They're building a mosque in the Vatican. They're building a mosque for the Pope in the Vatican. Check it out. They're building a mosque in France. And the mosque in Manhattan was planned by Chef Daoud. Go back and check out old book out Chef Daoud. The plans, everything, I was there in the 50s when they wasn't even born themselves Muslim. What happened? What happened to us? Why is everybody so worried about us finding out about ourselves, Why don't they want us to know about our Egyptian? Now, Egyptian is even the wrong word, Egyptos is Greek.
Right.
And some people go with Kevin.
Spence.
Kevin comes from the word Ham. And Ham was the son of Noah. Cush, Mitzrayim, Muslim. All trick words, Hebrew words. You base all your foundation on the Bible, the Torah, and the Quran. And those are the books that have been made to deceive you. Everybody in those books that look like you, they made a bad person. The Egyptians are so bad that God tells Joseph to take Jesus in. The Egyptians are so bad that Jacob and them have to go there. God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sends them over to Egypt to be saved. But the Egyptians are pagans and idol worshipers. But all throughout the scripture, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they say, is sending his prophets there to save them. But the moment you become an Egyptian, you become a pagan and idol worshipers. But when they say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you say, we say, yusalli ala rasulullah, what do you say? It sends Allah on who? Muhammad. Well, that's not me, but it means salutation. Listen, you're not talking to a fool. Salutation is a French word. Salut. Salutations. Salut. The word salat in the Quran was put in there by the Pope. The word tafut is the Arabic and Hebrew word for prayer. Salat from Yusuf comes from the French word salut. Salut. And the Italians, the Latin, all say from Latin, French, and Swahili. The Quran prayer that Muslims are making, salat will flesh it. Talk. You want to keep me here, because I'll stay with it. At least until the sun goes, or appears to go. Salatul Fajr. It means the prayer of the dawn. You with that?
Yes.
Fajr. The prayer of the dawn. What is the dawn? When the sun rises. Fact, you Muslim, when you are making Salatul Fajr, are you worshipping the sun? Blah, 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 al-haram. Mushrikeen. You base your prayer in the morning on the rising of the sun, and I ask you, are you a sun worshiper? And yet you use the word fajr. Right? Then comes Salatul Zuhr. Salatul Zuhr. The noon prayer, when the sun is directly above you. So yeah, Muslimun, Muslimat. Are you worshiping the sun now? La, 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 that's haram. Then comes Salatul Asr. Salatul Asr. The word Asr, cut to the word Asir, to squeeze the juice out of something. Or as the sun is starting to be squeezed out of light. I ask you again. Are you worshiping the sun if you're basing your prayer on the rising, the height of it, and the ascension of it? What do you tell me? That's haram. You don't worship the sun. Couple of hours later, comes Salatul Maghrib. Salatul Maghrib. What is the word Maghrib according to them? The raising, huh? Blackness, when the sun had started to set. I ask again, are you worshiping the sun? We have the fourth period of the motion of the sun. Are you worshiping the sun? What do they say, y'all? I got time. I don't have patience. I ain't even know how to
but I got time. I try again. Salatu Ish. Ish. Dinner. Dinner prayer. I would pray for dinner. Salatu Ish. The name of Ish, you know what I mean? In Hebrew, Ish. Male. They stole so many words from Hebrew, they don't tell you Ish, and Ish is male and female, do you? Now is when the son is gone. Right? Ask. What do I ask? What do they say to me? Now we have watched the sun rise for Salatul Fajr. The sun set the Salatul Maghrib. The sun is high going to Salatul Dawn. And they even have other prayers called late night prayers, all based on the motion of the sun. When Shahru Ramadan comes, Shahru means the month of Ramadan, fasting, the burning month. Notice they call it Ramadan, the burning month. Why do they call it the burning month? Because that's the month in Islamic hour when the sun is the closest. What's the closest? How do you say sun in Arabic? Shamsu. Shamsay. Shamsu, there you go. So I ask them, in Ramadan, are we worshiping the sun? There's a whole surah in the Quran called Surah al-Shams, a chapter of the sun. Surah al-Qamar, chapter of the moon. At the end of Ramadan, the whole Muslim world cannot break their fast or eat or fitr until the sighting of the new moon. So I ask them then, do you worship the moon? Because you can't break your fast. Breakfast. Break your fast. You can't break your fast until you see the crescent. Halal. Are you a moon worshiper? They do worship the sun. They do worship the moon. I was born a Muslim. And we base everything on the sun and the moon. They have three balls on the top of the mosque before you see the crescent. Why is that crescent and star up there? Because the star represents the sun and the crescent represents the moon. What are these? Dina symbols. What is Dina? A fertility deity. You with me? Where's the fertility symbol? The minaret is a penis. The dome is a breast. This goes through all the religions. Who's it go back to?
Make it plain.
I'll make it as plain as I can. Who's it go back to? Ancient Egypt. Who's the god? Men. Men. Arabic word for from. Men. What's the symbol of men? The symbol of Amun Ra, standing there with a frill in one hand, his right hand, and his phallus in his left hand. Go look up in Egyptian book. Don't think I'm talking dirty. And you know how the story goes in ancient Egypt? That Amun lived beneath the waters of the sea alone. He created himself there. And he came up out of the sea. This is what they teach, right? Ancient Egyptian book says, all the Quran. And was alone and wanted to create something. So he took himself in hand. And he spit out life. You follow that? Seed. That's why they call it seed man. A man of the sea. You think phonetic data part of the language? Don't think I'm saying word games. That's how they talk in sight. If you don't think you sold farewell and welfare, man, did you? You found out what justice and just love meant, didn't you? History and history, didn't you? But this deity, Amun, spelled out himself and created beings from it. And gave them creative will by who? Who? Men. You men. You think that's funny, phonetic? Look at every Egypt, you see they did it. And all this country is built on Egyptian mystery. That's why the Abbas Needle in Washington represents the phallus symbol. The dome on the White House represents the breast. They got a minute right there. And we're the first place they built an Orthodox Sunni Muslim mosque in the United States was Washington, D.C. Who built it? Dwight David Eisenhower, a Shriner. And so Islam Islamic center right now, Muslims go there and pray, and don't know that they have Masonic rituals and a skull and bone right in the same mosque. I was there and saw it. Muslims said, why don't you come to the mosque and watch and laugh? I was there. I was in the hall back there in the lodge. I can go through and read the books. You understand? Please walk with that. Know about that. Know what they're doing. Islam is a trick. It goes back to ancient Egypt. When I say Arabic, Surah Al-Fatiha, at the end of it, I want you to go with me. Okay?
Okay.
Alhamdulillah, you Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahman, Ya Rahim. Maliki, Ya Rahim. Iyaka na'udhu wa iyaka nasta'in. أهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. That's the longest sentence held in prayer. And what is it? Amun Ra. Amin comes from the word Amun, the hidden one. They say it comes from the attribute of Allah El-Mu'min. Not true. Same root word. They stole it from the Hebrews, who say Amen at the end of their prayer. And the Christians, who say Amen at the end of their prayer. The Muslim ones, the Muslim are the last one in that line. They stole it. And they didn't even realize when they were stealing it that the Jews were giving praise to the Egyptian deities. They don't even realize that the god Tammuz and the god Elul, from where they get Allah, are names in the Judaic calendar which come out of Babylonian deities.
Right, right,
you can find the name Tammuz and Elul today, and even Eve, Enki Drego's mother, is registered as one of the months in the Jewish calendar and in Babylonian. Actually, what are y'all doing? Babylonian names in your calendar.
No doubt.
Because they know they copied the Torah from the Elamite Elish. You know Elish and the Atrahasis. They're trying to make you think that the tablet of the Sumerians is not for 2,000, 3,000 years old. But if you go to the Bible that they say they believe in and say, find the language of Hebrew in here, they'll get to the word Ebar. And that's Hebrew. Find the word language of Arabic in here, they'll get to the name Ashur of Syria. It's a reference. Arabic, both coming from Arabic. Say, find the word Akkadian in here, they can find it. Find the word Chaldean in here, they can find it. Find the word Uruk or Uruk in here, they can find Uruk. Find hieroglyphics in here. They find the names of the pharaohs in here. You with me?
What's wrong with
it? Now say, find cuneiform in here. Find the word cuneiform, a Latin word, just meaning chipped wedges. And what was the name of the language cuneiform? Because we got Akkadian as the name of Akkad. We got Aramic from Aram. We got Hebrew from Ebal. We got Arabic from Arab, who's from the descendants of Joktan from Ashur. You with me? These are facts. What is the name of cuneiform in the Torah? All the other languages are here. Yet you're telling me that they found hundreds of tablets written in cuneiform. Even the Mormon, Joseph Smith, said the tablet he found buried upstate New York was in cuneiform. But none of them will tell you what is the name of cuneiform. If every other language got a name, what is cuneiform's name? Because it couldn't have been Latin that far back. Sanskrit got a name. Farsi, Persian got a name. Urdu got a name. English, French, Italian. What is the name of cuneiform? Nuwapi. From the word Nabawa, from the word Nub, from the word Nubian, from the word messengers from the sky. Because the beings that were talking in Genesis were talking before Moses got the Torah. They were talking before they said, Muhammad, we reveal this Quran to you in this time in your tongue, Arabic, and made it simple for you to memorize. They were talking in heaven and talking about the shaping and the forming of the earth in a language. The serpent spoke to Eve in a language. And this is before Genesis chapter 10, where Aramaic, Akkadian, and all the languages you call Semitic or Shemia languages came into existence. What language was God talking in? When you're trying to make people think that the Edomitish tablets I talk about is more recent than the Torah and the Egyptian mystery, and hieroglyphics can be found in the Bible, but cuneiform can be found on tablets, but not found in the Bible. You with me? They don't want you back with your own language. They don't want you speaking in tongues. Because when you start speaking in tongues, you start conjuring up our ancestors who are buried on these grounds beneath us. You start, they start getting roused up. And you start projecting what Christ said, as a man thinketh, so is he. He knew you had the power to make things happen with your mind. They don't want you identifying with the saints of your family. They don't want you to. They have the teraphim in the Torah. The nation of Islam, they don't know nothing about it. They're still worshiping one of their descendants, Master Prophet Muhammad, who didn't say it was God. They're still praying to him. The 5% is still praying to Clarence 13X, who's really 37X. That's still ancestral worship. But you can't do it. When we do it, everybody criticizes me. When we talk about identifying with our ancestors, Amon Ra, who you all give praise to in your churches as Amen or Amin.
Always,
yeah. Just for those that they know. See that? This here is called Majd. They call it a Majda now. It originally was called a Majd in ancient Arabic, because it symbolized a feather of the Egyptian deity Majd. Now they call it Majda, meaning the double. Something like the double U of Washington from Ocean Deep. Oh man, we got so much information about us. Let's just go on and on. I start with contradictions in the Bible, contradictions of the Quran, contradictions of the Torah, show you how they lie and change things.
Can you see them? Lift it up.
But you know what you gotta start with? Start with the language. If you are a sincere Christian, then learn the language so you can speak. The preachers will stand up and quote you in it. If you are a sincere Muslim, learn the Arabic so you can go with them step by step, word by word, and not depend on them. If you are a sincere Moorish American, learn that Arabic. If you're a sincere Hebrew Israelite, learn that Hebrew. So nobody ain't giving you no doggone interpretation. And no tradition. If you don't want to accept mine, and you have every right not to, then learn the language yourself. You're young enough. You're young enough to take the language apart yourself. Don't tell me you're no sincere Christian and don't want to speak the language you say Christ spoke. You with me? If you really are sincere about your religion, then start with the word. In the beginning was the Logos, the word. And when you look up the Greek for logos, it doesn't mean words, it means speech. That speech they're talking about is a conversation that was going on between the angels and said, let us create man. Talking to somebody who talked back to them in one of the languages that had to exist before Genesis chapter 10. But you will find the language. You will find the language in Genesis. As Cush. It says right in that Bible that the Tigris and Euphrates and the white and blue Nile runs down into the land of Ethiopia. Right in the Bible. Well, it is in Hebrew, the word is Cush. Cush.
check this out, just for some food for thought. Here in your Bible, we're talking about the creation of the world, heaven and earth, and the heavenly host, right? And in the midst of it, God becomes an economist. You want to know where?
Yes, sir.
God says, and the gold in that land is good. Right in Genesis, God stops in the middle of all creation and says, and the gold in that land is good. Nobody was on the planet yet. There wasn't supposed to be nobody but Adam and Eve and Cain and Abel. It wasn't no commerce. It wasn't nobody to mine for gold. Nobody to dig for gold. Gold has to be dug. So whoever was talking either saw it down in earth. But he was telling other angels. Because he wasn't talking to Adam and Eve yet. Because he ain't created them yet. And he said, and the goal of that land is, remember that in the Bible? God is talking about 14, 18, 22, 10, and 24 karat gold. He said, there's 24 karat gold down there. God had an interest in gold.
Come on, man.
Why did God have an interest in gold? Why didn't God say, and the platinum down there is good? Platinum is more valuable than
gold.
Why didn't God say, and the diamonds down there are good? Or the uranium? Why was he interested in gold, folks?
Because
it deflects sunlight. And he had to build a rainbow dome over you to protect you from the sun. Spoken of in the Bible as a rainbow covenant. Seven layers of strata. You understand that? Creating spheres to protect me and you from the ultraviolet rays of the sun. What is the last color on the rainbow? Violet. And what comes after that? Gamma. Amber light that can penetrate here and kill people. So a loving, caring Heavenly Father was concerned about the gold dust, because he created our spheres out of gold dust. And that's why it was wet, those beautiful colors like the rainbow. You gotta figure out, how come the rainbow comes in this way? The light bends and reflects off the dust particles of gold. It's in the dome that the Most High Heavenly Father put there, which protects you and me from the Nilan. And the serpent and his children, the Chash, are destroying the ozone layer. And right over Australia right now, there's an opening digging in it. And the rays are coming through. And they're trying to tell you to come down there and put a shrimp on the barbie. They're talking about you. They start inviting people to Australia when they know the radiation level is too high. Who's going to die first? Who's going to die first? Who's going to die first? Melanites or non-melanites? They're taking away the ozone layer that the Heavenly Father put up there to protect us from the rays of the sun as a covenant he made with us. That's why they're trying to get out of here. That's why there's a shuttle every month. Shuttles for where? Shuttles for what? We're not at war with Russia no more, like we ever was. Where's the race for space now? Have you asked why there's so many shuttles? And where are they going and why they don't tell you that?
Come on in, huh?
They are transporting their people out of here. They have made contact with a man called Myers in Switzerland with the Aldebarians and the Pleiadians, and they are leaving here, believe it or not. You may not believe this, but they wouldn't have believed television in 1930.
Come on with it.
They are leaving. They are transporting people all through the planet in shuttles. They are going to the moon, they're going to Mars, they're going to Jupiter, and now they're exploring Titan. And it just confirmed this month that Titan is the planet, not Saturn. It was thought to be the moon, but the planet has an atmosphere just like Earth, and it's covered with a dust cloud. And it's setting up Saturn this month. I think I told y'all Titan was on. And you check Titan out, it takes you back to the name Europa. Europe. I thought I told you that. They are getting out of here. They are trying to destroy the ozone layer and then leave and let the rays of the sun kill everybody on the planet. But y'all want me to say I say this? Anybody wants to leave, don't feel like if you got something to good at. I tell you, I keep y'all down. I would not be insulted. Not be what you gotta do. You understand? But they can't do it. We got underground cities. Did you know that? Didn't you notice when you went past parks and playgrounds, there was doorways leading underground? We built them. We got underground cities connected all across this country. They built one from 42nd Street to 125th Street to interfere with ours. We were going to the Bronx. And didn't tell nobody why they did. All across us, under us, underground cities. You know what they use them for now? Early in the morning, 6 o'clock in the morning, you stand out under the city in the light somewhere and watch the poison coming up out of the sewer. And ask yourself, where is that steam coming from in the morning? It's not there any other part of the day. Tell me that that steam coming up in the morning is from the subway system in Marshall. That it would be there all day and on every dark, shadowy block where there's condensation, you see it. Why only in the morning? Because in the morning, everybody just woke up, and that's breathing time. And if we put poison, it's popping up in the system, and you're going to the city, and you're taking in poison that is causing you to have miscarriages, causing you not to get pregnant, causing you migraine headaches, causing our sisters breast cancer, causing our men prostate cancer. They are killing us. You know why? Because they cannot deal with when the sun hits you and your feet is on the ground and your soul up, you know what I call a soul up left? Because if you look at the ancient pictures of Jesus, they always show the flame of fire right here. And they show them using his left or smallest finger pointing at it. And he had a rose above it. And that was Jesus telling them that there is a central sun in the man. The light that shineth in the darkness, but the darkness comprehendeth not. He talks about that light right there.
Yeah.
And he didn't understand what he was talking. He never understood anything he was saying. He was too busy being involved with the fact that he was different.
Come on, baby.
How different was he, though? He was so different that Mary didn't even know who his father was. Did you know that? Mary said to him, while in Jerusalem at age 13, why are you hiding from me and your father, Joseph? She didn't say from me and your father, God. Read your Bible, me and your father, Joseph. They said Jesus would be of the seed of David. The word they use in Greek is spermos, the seed. Is that clear? It's in the Greek. And then when they ask you for a list of Jesus in Matthew, you know what they give you? Joseph's line of descendancy through Jacob in your Bible. But you keep saying God, Mary keeps saying it, and the Bible keeps saying the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is not a man, it's a spirit to y'all. Except for when y'all want to make him be persons in one, then he becomes a person. When Daniel wants to call a man, I saw the man Gabriel, then he's a man. Christians talk about him, that's just the Holy Spirit. He just touched her and she became pregnant. Where the Y chromosome come from? Whose sperm was carrying David's seed? Because Mary couldn't carry David's seed because Mary don't carry sperm. She carried ovum. They don't know. They wasn't in tune with the real Messiah. They wasn't in tune with Yeshua, they called him. They don't know nothing about him. They wrote a whole bunch of stories about him. How can you say that he's just God? You can't tell me what he was doing between 1 and 13. God was on earth and y'all didn't keep a record from 1 to 13. Well, he was in Egypt. The Egyptians kept a record.
That's right.
They had got more accurate records than the Jews. That's why we got another writing on the pyramids. And don't fall for that Rosetta Stone trap. Anybody read the Rosetta Stone got set up by the Egyptians? They fabricated the Rosetta Stone and added the Greek on it so that they would think they're translating. That's why right now I have to be translating everything. They got all the dates messed up. They don't know how old the Sphinx is now. So they say it's now corroded by water. And it must be older than 3,000 years. Maybe Putin didn't move it. And now they're all confused. So they they got it from the Rosetta Stone, who was created by Egyptians to confuse them. And it worked. But we ain't gonna never tell them our secrets. And Almighty sent Jesus to Egypt because he knew those were people who are. Told Joseph, take the boy to Egypt until Herod is dead, the Edomites. Right?
That's
us. We were the protectors of the Holy Family. We didn't worship Jesus. He was our brother. We protected Jesus as Egyptians. Just the same, read the Bible. The Egyptians protected the Holy Family. We protected Joseph when he got into Egypt. We protected Abraham. Gave Isaac back his wife and said, Isaac, why didn't you tell me that was your wife? I would have never went against Adonai and did such a thing. That's what Abimelech says. Right in the Bible. He said, I would have never went against the Most High. Right in the Bible. Here's an Egyptian, you tell it to a pagan, but they're talking to Joseph and they're talking to Abraham in the exact same story. Come on, please. A repeated story, both of them in Egypt, 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 their wives, both of them gave them back their wives, their wives, their wives. You want to believe that crap? Fool yourself? No, man, somebody's making up stories. The whole story of Joseph going to Egypt and almost getting raped by the Pharaoh's wife and blaming it on, on Joseph. That's Anubis and Bata, an ancient Egyptian story. It's recorded. I can go on with parallel stories all night, but y'all getting tired and y'all are drunk. God gave y'all so much information, I know your brain is tired. I do the best I can for those who care. I'm only here to bring facts, nothing but facts. I'm not here to be liked. You follow? If you don't like me, it's even safer, then I ain't gotta be bothered with you. Because when you get bothered with black people, they get all in the business. Then they see you in restaurants, they wanna talk to you, wanna talk. Sit down and talk to you while you're driving, sit with your family, meet your teeth. They see you in the movie, they wanna walk up and conversate and make you miss the bitch. If you don't know me, I don't know you better. I ain't trying to be telling you a minister. I'm becoming your teacher. You didn't follow your teacher home from school, don't follow me home. You understand? A father wants to be a minister, so he has an example you have to follow. I don't have no holy example for you, I am me. You understand? I'll beat you on the food table or lose. I'll beat you on the basketball court or lose. I am your brother from another planet. Are here. Don't allude to thinking you're one of us. We know who we are. We have come back to the planet for you, as crazy as that may sound. This information I give you, I learned it in what you call a second of your time. So I was programmed to give you this. I can talk to these brothers, tell you, for 5 straight days. Non-stop, won't get hungry, won't have to go to the bathroom. Constantly talk. I've been programmed. The right to wrong. Don't believe anything I say. Take notes and check it out. You understand? People are going to hate me. Blessed is he who is persecuted after righteous things. For great is his reward in heaven. For so persecuted they are prophets, which is before. I am not claiming to be a prophet. Let me set the record straight. I have never claimed to be the beloved Messiah, Jesus, Yeshua, Jesus, and Miriam. I am not the Messiah. Please, don't let people do that to me. Don't, oh, he calls himself Jesus. Please, there's a million Muslims with the name Isa. There's nowhere on my name anywhere where you see El Messiah. I repeat, I am not the Messiah. When one of them say that, I was talking to the man, looking right in his mouth, he said, I am not the Messiah, and I never was the Messiah, and I never will be the Messiah. I am not a prophet. I never was a prophet, and I never will be a prophet. Understand? What else must I tell you that I'm not? It'll make you happy. I'm going to tell you what I am. I am your teacher. I am raised up amongst you, sent from above. Above is not a holy place. is a kingdom where you are the ruler. Thy kingdom come on earth as it is above. It just says heaven. And God, you're missing a kingdom is moving in our sky. Heaven is Shemarim in Greek. In Hebrew. So many of them make a cross. It's Orion or Orionis in the Greek of your Bible. Jesus' father is an Orion star constellation. Right? You understand me? I have come to you to right the wrong. Everybody that touches base with me leaves with something. Even if you don't like me, you leave with something. Something I said today has touched you. I don't mean emotionally. I mean it touched what you believe. And you say, I'm going to take that out. And you're going to go to some fell arrow and ask you, just truly going to say, okay, great. I'm telling you to go check it out by asking somebody that's going to lie. I'm telling you to go check it out by researching and do something. Go check out everything. Take this Taurus. If you don't have one of those holy tablets in front of you, take it. Don't buy it. You can have it. That's why I say it. Take it home with you. Study it. Research it. Find out if those things are real. Find out if there's missing things. You know the funny thing about it? The Muslims say the Quran is the last revelation. There's no other scripture. Wrong. Holy tablets is here. The funny part is, their kind of mind will say, that ain't no scripture. Say, that ain't no scripture to you. It's a scripture to him. And if it's a scripture to him, then it's a scripture. If any one of y'all believe it's a scripture on this planet Earth, because the whole Muslim world says it's not. If one of y'all believes it is, it is. So their book is contradicted. You with me? That's the day and time we're in. I might not be here teaching y'all next week. Somebody else. No, I'll probably be here. But please come with some hard questions for me. You know, because then you think of the hard questions, right?
Yeah.
The appendix can erupt for many different reasons. First, it punch you like it did a genie. And erupt your appendix and your liver and kill you dead. But what they have done, the appendix, the certain organs in the body that they don't tell you about. They don't tell you what they're there for. That's a lot. Let's just go to the long story. You know, I'll be here for a long time. I mean, it all ties into the hippocampus, or what they call hippocampus area of the brain. All right? And once you have an organ there, that organ there charged all of your higher senses, your divine, your connection with the Most High. That was surgically removed from you. They maimed you, as they say in the Bible, and removed your divinity so you cannot walk and talk with God anymore. When they moved one gland, if that gland, like the liver and the kidney work together. So if the liver goes bad, then the well, that's why appendix and tonsils go bad, because we are vocal people. Our power is in our voice. That's why they say Jesus has a voice, the sound of many waters. We can take the walls of Jericho down by our voice. So the first thing they try to do is get your tonsils out. Then they tell you don't need your appendix. All of these things work with the fluids that deal with your oversoul, not your underbody. You follow? An erupted appendix will not stop you from having psychic power. Because once a man and a woman come together and become one flesh, organs that are damaged in him can be used from her by embrace. We extend to each other. This is why when a couple has been hanging out together, they start to walk alike. People start saying, that's your sister, you stand there totally hugging. My wife looks like Thousand. And they ask me, is that my sister? You know what I mean? Because we're together all the time, so we walk alike. I get ready to say something, she said it. I'm driving along, I'm getting ready to think something, she said, why don't we just pull over? I'm getting ready to say something, I'm saying, well, that's the way I want it.
Yeah.
That's the way it should be.
Goddamn.
That's how y'all should be.
Goddamn.
And then when, as you're starting to get sick, he will feel it. As she's starting to get sick, you will feel it. And you can take your vitality. And you can embrace the person you love. And you can hold them. And y'all can grieve together. And you can rejuvenate damaged organs. With the power of Ish, true love. I say Ish because love in English is a messed up word. We have our own Ish. You have the power, Ish. You understand that? Become one. It says in the scripture, cling unto your wife and y'all become one flesh. So if the Bible says, if a man and wife, woman come together, they become one flesh, can you not share the same fleshly organs? You share the same heart when you're in love. You know what happens sometimes? It's an adult thing. Husbands and wives can lay in the bed next to each other, and one or the other got to jump up because the heart gets too loud. He can actually hear his heart and think he's going to have a heart attack. Or she can hear her heart go, oh, she got to get from the heart. It's beating too fast. No, it's not. You're sharing energy from your mate, and you're getting a double portion of electric nerve centers being sent to activate that chakra or that gland or that cold that will seat. And it makes you think you're going to have a heart attack. As soon as you get up out of bed, you go, oh, okay. All you have to do is get away from her. Go away from him. That's the power of love. We got such beautiful power. We don't need four women standing around us just because we got the horns. Horns, the devil's horns. You need one good loyal wife, one good loyal husband, both doing their part, and life is beautiful. Take it from a man who was a foolish polygamist who didn't know what he was doing. I was a Muslim for years, a polygamist, and it was miserable to me and the women I was messing over. And it took us all nowhere. I've never been happier than I am now. When I have a wife and a friend and a buddy, someone who laughs, we laugh at the same jokes. We don't like the same jokes. She eats some funny stuff. That stuff. Yeah. Women can eat some funny stuff and call it good. Try this. But we differ there. And we also differ with their nails like this. When they come at your face when you're driving, and they look over and they see a bump on your face, and you're on the interstate doing 80 miles an hour, and they decide they want to bust a bump on your face. And you see your nails come at you, like, what's the problem? They say, get off of me. There are those funny, magical things that you can't explain. Life, brother. Y'all know that.
Oh,
the moment you're in the house, you need us, you can't find us.
Yep.
I'm like, right now I need them, like holding something, the water's leaking, I'm going to go like, right? As soon as I figure it out, she comes and says, can I help you? You know what, y'all was so in tune at that point that she was on the other end doing something else. And one time you know what she was doing? Well, I was with the kids, because one of the kids was almost going to do something. So he said, wow, it's magical. Power of love. It's powerful. All of you young people that don't have somebody to love, find someone to love. Anyway, find someone to love. You guys do they have it? Having your little spats? Get rid of them spats. You need each other now more than ever to become one flesh, to work together.
Oh, yeah.
And believe me, anytime there's an argument, either both of y'all are right, both of y'all are wrong, one of y'all is right, the other one is wrong, and it can go on like that. The smartest one says, guess what? Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm right. Maybe you're wrong. Maybe you're right. Let's not fight. You follow? Don't ever go to bed fighting. Don't do it. Solve the argument before you go to bed. You know why he's flirting? Or why you always accuse him of flirting? Because he's a flirt. You know why? Y'all want this kind of you know why we men are flirting?
Step on in.
Because you women have entered us into the order of dogs. You're the first to say, all you men are but dogs. You done said it so much, now we believe it, and now we go around sniffing every bus. Now you want to change me. I got to change myself. I got to want to change. I got to want to change for you. And when you see me go out my way and look down at the mall, because I don't want to look up on a Saturday with all them booty. If you see me going out my way to church, don't say to me, I see you looking. Then I'm going to say, looking at what? Leave it down. I'm looking down because I want to respect you. Because we're trying to learn respect and love about what appreciates my woman again. My woman does not walk behind me, she walks beside me. I don't need no woman tailing behind me. I need her right there beside me. Someone I can lean on when I need help. Because y'all know me as a teacher. I'm also a man, a father and a husband. And it's times when I need somebody to lean on. It's time when the world is heavy for me. You can't imagine being me, hated by people that love you because you want to help them. I've been a multimillionaire for years, but I spend my time with you. Farrakhan don't do that. You get on the internet, you can talk to me, I'll talk to you on the internet. Farrakhan don't do it, get him on to talk to you, probably put the minister on. I come down that audience and I walk with you, I talk with you, I sit with you, I socialize with you. I don't put myself above you in any way. I don't ever want any thought of it that. You may respect what I teach you, but that's about it. Respect it. Look at it again and respect it. Look at it again and respect it again. Look at it again and respect it again. But that's all I want to do. I want to be your brother. I want to be your friend. I want our families to know each other. I want you to see my kids and understand if you see my daughter or son doing something wrong, just stop. The same way I have the right, if I see y'all doing something wrong, I stop. And y'all trying to have kids say, get in touch with me, I'll tell you how to do it. There's a certain way to do it now, but it's saying our people need to prevent it. That's why y'all can't have it. That's why y'all can't. Y'all people have problems. I'm not telling you 9-year-olds and 10-year-olds to get married. I'm saying, you young boys and young girls out there, you in this room today, walk outside and meet some people. Don't leave here without meeting each other, shaking hands, and talking to each other, and socializing. How many of y'all are trying to get back next week to see me?
Hold it.
I'll be looking for you. As long as I'm still kicking, I'll try to be here. Then we're waiting for the summer so we can take it out this hot room outside and have, you know, what colored folks do, some food too. We ain't gonna have y'all spilling no food on this room over here. Not tomorrow, not ever. So we ain't gonna have no food if we can take y'all outside. You know, our niggas like to drop stuff on the floor. Somebody's gonna get hurt. You know how your grandma, I don't have a dog, you remember my grandmother's going to try to grandmother had plastic on the chair. It took you about a half an hour to get in the chair. You sat on an airphone. And grandma was so deep that not only did she have a bowl on the chair with plastic, she had a dolly on the bowl. A little tardier like that. Grandma was weaving, put on her, everything was covered. She was like, y'all niggas ain't gonna head breaking up, nothing. And she had that kind of furniture, you couldn't move. Nowadays, you can walk in the house and take a dress and throw it across the room. Grandmama had real furniture. You could run into that furniture and be comatose for the rest of your life. I'm quite sure that some of our brethren bumped into their parents' furniture when they were kids and had brain damage. You remember those days?
Yeah.
Grandma was a special being. And I'm never going to forget her. And if that's called ancestral worship, then accuse me of ancestral worship because I worship the ground my grandmother walked on. She was a great Native American. You can find her picture inside the Black Indian book under Fletcher. She's standing there proud as ever. That's my grandmother. And she's the one who raised me. In Teaneck, New Jersey, not in Brooklyn, clown. Come to me. And I loved that woman. And it gave me a certain respect for women until I lost it when I became a Muslim. and started treating women like cattle, like secondary creatures. That's what it teaches us. Don't you lie. You know it does. And now I feel better. I feel whole again. The Christians got a better concept on life than Muslims by far. By far. They don't know, Muslims don't know nothing about life. Their whole concept, if you don't believe me, let's kill you. You don't agree with my doctrine, you got to be wrong. The Quran is right, the gospel is wrong. Let's burn up the building, let's blow everybody up, let's kill everybody. In the name of the law. Mind you, like the law calls them on the phone and say, go down and blow up the welfare center for me, will you? The law didn't want them to be a welfare center. He said, coon, fire, coon. And the welfare center just goes, beep. A lot of them got to send your little nanny ass down there to do no work. And it's so sick to think that you got to kill somebody because they have different beliefs than you. That's not what we teach. We are never the aggressor here. In Ansar community, we used to get abused by the Sunnis. Not because we couldn't knock one of them overeating punks out, but because I would tell our brothers, that's not our way. That's our brothers. They don't like us. Yeah, brother, I'll stomp you in your face. You made up your own bomb. We'll kill you. Brother, first of all, you can't do time. Because when you get in jail, they're going to break your Sunni. You ain't going to be able to make a lock anymore. They're going to slap you with some hammocks. They're going to shave off that beard. You understand? So, brother, you ain't ready to go to jail. So stop fronting. Then, you ain't ready to stop. You front. You like living. That's why you're living. You like ritual. People like rituals. People ready to die don't have rituals. You know ready to die? Bad men and bad ladies. There are no religious walk the street waiting to get hit. That's the real religious people on the planet. But they will threaten you because their religion goes to a point where they're mentally defeated. And they send you, I'm telling you, Amorites have sent Nubians out to kill me. Amorite red Arabs kill me. And brothers want to kill me for some Saudi Arabian or for some Bangladeshi. Want to kill their brothers. They're saying, excuse me, brothers, why can't we just prove him wrong? It's not like he hides. For 25 years, I came out every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday and stood in a forum like this in Brooklyn and said, anybody come and ask me anything. And Arabs came, Jews came, Buddhists came, Seventh-day Adventists came, Hare Krishnas came, and all of them left the same way. I don't feel that he's smart. Some of y'all think he's a smart one. He's a charismatic. He, you know, he feels, you know, but the fact. Don't go past what I'm saying. All I'm saying is facts. I don't retain all these facts, and you can't say, Mr. Sunni man. Oh, he was only Muslim from 19. I'm only Muslim from 1985, and I speak fluent Arabic. How come you don't? And if you have an ear for Arabic, you'll know my pronunciation is not American. My pronunciation is the look, as you say, Arabic, exact. Well, they know that. And when I dealt with the Hebrews, I did the same thing. Why? How? Because of ego tripping? No, because I did my job.
That's right.
I did
right.
My homework. I did my job. You don't stand in front of a Muslim mosque if you're not fluent in Arabic. You don't stand in front of a synagogue if you're not fluent in Hebrew. You don't stand and say you know if you don't know. Because I will put you to the test. Because I see you. I, as one man, can't get my hands on anybody. I'm raising up you. And I want you to be deaf. I want you to study. I want you to be bad. I want you to be as bad as I was. I was so bad. How bad am I? So bad. They're all afraid of me. Farrakhan and people won't come near me with a 10-foot pole. They act like I don't exist. I got literally millions of followers, and you don't never hear them talking about me. They talk about Yahweh, they talk whatever. What? The media, the news, don't never say anything about me. They don't invite me to Donahue. You know what I'm saying? Have you ever seen me on Donahue? They invite me. They invite Dr. Khalid. They invite Farrakhan. They won't invite me. You know why they don't invite me on television? They know the effect I have. They made like I didn't exist. If I have books in 10 languages out, French, Hausa, Spanish, yes, we have books all over the world. Followers all over the world. And they say a fastest growing religion is in the world of Islam. I got a surprise for you. The fastest growing movement in the world right now is Nawafo. I mean, every week I can come here and give you new countries that are coming over. Doctors, lawyers, policemen. I mean, all walks of life are coming over. You know why? Because it's facts.
Right.
It's stuff that they can go and research and find out the facts. No more myths. Yes, my brother.
I am a carpenter.
Okay.
I use master gardener.
Mm.
How can we come out here to help you with this?
Well, as you see, the brothers out there are building a pilon, which is called a pilon in Egypt. And the other, over there, three permits are being built.
Yes, sir.
Right now.
Like
Tom said, these two of them should be up here.
All right.
And we need brothers with talent and sisters with talent. The sisters were just, but they have their own power here. You know about brothers telling them what to do. They were just telling us that they're going to start planting their own food out there. To save us some money. I ain't got no problem with that. Anybody got a problem with that?
She's a master gardener.
Well, that's what don't be aggressive. He's giving you the props. Take the props. How often do black men give women black women props? Well, go on, baby. Don't worry, man. My wife's a master gardener. Yeah, yeah. Then we have Wafi classes, then we have Saturday classes, and sometime on Friday we go to the Islamic Forum just to beat up the Muslims in the front.
And Wafi. And my brother was telling me that you had made a distinction between the year 2000, you know, and things happening at that time.
It could be now.
Excuse me?
It could be now. Well, yeah, see what happened is, they went back, whenever the Christians tell you about the beginning of the world, they say 4,004. And that's not the beginning of the world, that's the birth of China. Right? But that 4 years is jumped off, when they jump down to Jesus, they say the year one. And they say 2,000 years. And then they say now we're in 1,997. What about those other 4 years?
4 years.
They keep losing those 4 years, which will take us up to 2001. So our time shifts from the year 2000 to 2003. Though there will be a lineup on May 50,000, which is a bringing in of the cloud. You will be here to visit that. Alright? Yeah.
Still very
me personally?
Yes.
Not yet. The moment we got the land turned into Karnak, Egypt, and that's going to be this summer. Right? When the temples and stuff are finished and the pyramids up, we'll be having ceremonies full Egyptian.
recover. Why, you guys, you up? Y'all guys get married yet?
Yeah, we are.
So we talked to your mom.
Right.
To get you things
I'm in a situation. When I walked to the other side to talk to the guy from Luther Van Hoosen.